Let us praise Jesus now, for we are standing in his presence on holy ground. As I walked through the door, I felt his presence. Before I knew, this is the place where love abounds. For we are staying in his temple, God abiding, and we are standing in his presence on holy. Oh, we are standing, we are standing on holy
you this morning. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful to be in thine house this morning. Lord, having brought us through so many things over the week, and here we are, Lord, to honor your resurrection this morning, and Lord, to usher us into a new week. We are thankful for your graces and your mercies that are renewed every morning. We want to commit the Sunday school into your hands. Lord, we commit each and every one of ourselves to you, and we pray, Lord, that you would bless us this day, Lord, with your presence in our midst. We ask it for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like to read from the book of Acts, chapter 12, verse number 7. Acts 12, verse number 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Get thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought that he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel, and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod, from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." May the Lord bless the reading of his word this morning. Let's pray again. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you, Lord, that it's been stored for us, Lord, to show us the things that we need for the day that we are living in. We commit it into your hands. Bless now the Sunday school in Jesus' name. Amen. May God bless you. I would really ask you to pray for me. When I come and stand here, I feel good, you know. But oh my, how I suffered these last few nights with pain. And it's amazing when you come to the house of the Lord, everything is fine then. So I suppose I'll stay here for the whole week. But I would really solicit your prayers. And we have just read in the Bible here, in Acts chapter 12, an event regarding Peter, how he was imprisoned by Herod, and the people were baying for his life. They really wanted him dead. And you can see that he was put into an inner prison, and he was guarded by many layers of security. Peter in himself would not have known how to get out of there. He needed someone else that was going to guide him to bring him out. In fact, when it began to happen, Peter thought he was in a vision or something, because he couldn't believe that these iron doors were opening on themselves and all the guards at every level were kind of like sleeping. It's only when he came to the street and he came to himself and he was like, oh my, I am here now. I think that's really about what is going to happen to many of us when we come to heaven and we realize that, oh my, we are here. The Lord led me from where I was to here, because Peter did not have any idea whatsoever how he could get out of there. And he had no idea of how he could get his freedom back again. And really, when we look at our own lives, we have no idea whatsoever how we could come to heaven ourselves. You know, I mean, who here can lead us to heaven? But we need someone. We need a guide in our lives. You know, there's something very comforting about having a guide. Somebody who knows the way. Somebody who's going to bring you to where you are going. And we are always going somewhere, you know. Everybody is always going somewhere. I can see Brother Nat, he's got his work uniform. He's going to go to work. And really his job, he's going to get on the bus. And people are going to get on the bus. They depend on him. He's going to be their guide for that portion of the journey. They don't have to be fussing with the driver. Ah, is this the right way? Why are you turning here and this and that? No. They sit in there, they relax, they are talking on the phone, they are telling people, I'll be there at such a time. Maybe they don't even know the way, but they are fully trusting in the guide to lead them there. And that's very, very comforting. I've sat in cars where I am going to a place where I don't know, but I never really worried myself, because I'm completely trusting in the person driving, that he knows the way. He is our guide, you know. Sometimes people don't, and they say they do. I remember going to Poland years ago with Brother Vladimir and Brother Jose. There were some meetings the pastor was taking there. He had already gone, but we had said we will come and be with you that weekend. So we're running after work. We get to the airport, you know. We were busy all week working. So I printed the map of where we were going. We get there at night after 11 in Poland, and we hired a car. And I was so tired, so I sat at the back. I gave Brother Jose the map. Brother Vladimir was driving. Brother Jose was the navigator. I had no worry at all, because I trusted that Brother Vladimir would at least know the way. Anyway, they have a map. In those days, GPS was not as popular. Ah, the brothers drove 70 kilometers in the wrong direction. We only stopped at a place to buy some food because it was really getting late. While talking with the shopman, he says, so where are you guys headed? We told him, oh, we are headed to Lodz. He says, what? Where are you coming from? From the airport. He said, no. This way you're going into Russia now, you know. The guide had read the signs the wrong way. And that's the tragedy of life today, is that we have so many people that claim to be guides. And this life that we are undertaking, there is no journey that is more important than the journey we are undertaking. Amen. There are other journeys that are important. Like, say, when you are wanting to go into a career, you need career guidance. Someone guides you and say, look, you need to study this and that for you to be able to go into college and study medicine or something. You need a guide, you know. And we listen very carefully, because We want to be guided into the thing we want to do. You don't want to spend all your living set years studying things, and then when you apply to go to college to study medicine, they tell you, well, you don't have biology and maths. You needed that from the beginning. You can't change that now. You see, even in marriage, the Bible says, enter into it prayerfully and advisably. You need guidance for someone to show you, say, Olivier, this is the way things work. You know, don't be attracted by the way she looks and things like that, but search the heart. Look at the heart. Does she have the heart for the Lord? Now you are being guided, and then you find someone like that, and you save yourself a lot of trouble. Amen. All these journeys are very, very important, but none of them is as important as the journey that we are undertaking. Amen. Every single one of us, whether we like it or not, we are on a journey somewhere.
Right.
We are going somewhere. From the moment you do your first yawn from your mother's womb to the moment you close your eyes for the last time, you are on a journey. And it is through this life that we make our choices where we are going. And there is only one person that knows the journey that we are undertaking, and that's God himself.
Amen.
He is the one that can lead us and guide us and show us, this is the way, walk ye in it, the Bible says. He is supposed to be the guide of our life. But what has happened is that there's so many voices that speak today, and they claim to know the way, and they want to guide us somewhere. And there's nothing wrong with listening to someone telling you about this journey of life, as long as you know who that person is following. Because the Bible, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. In other words, the moment I'm not following Christ, don't follow me. Because none of us know the way. Only Christ knows the way. So if we go about life because somebody on YouTube said this, you know, there are some very powerful philosophical statements that are churned out by great philosophical minds in this world. You know, they say, silence is golden, you know. Can you show me from scripture where that is? Like, if there's an issue between wife and husband, she just goes, silence is golden. That's what they say, you know. And it seems to work for most of the part. But really, is that scripture? Who's guiding you in your life to do that? Who said that? What was their motive? And many things like that. They seem like they're really good philosophical things that we can use. But really, are they based on scripture? Because it is scripture that is going to guide us in this life. You don't want to be guided and then one day realize that you took an exit somewhere from God's way. And how do you go back? How? You don't know the way, like, you know. It's only God's grace that maybe you meet something or someone that pushes you back again. And it says the way of a transgressor is a hard way.
Right.
Then you find that maybe you're on a hospital bed, and then you begin to think a brother visits you and say, brother, where did you leave him? Where did you leave God? Then you begin to think, well, there was a false teacher who taught me to take the wrong way. And now here I am. Now I need to go back. It doesn't have to be like that. I would like to read in the book of 1 Kings a story there that no doubt you have heard before, but it kind of illustrates something that I would like to put across to the saints this morning. 1 Kings chapter 13, these are the days of Jeroboam, the man who caused Israel to sin. And he had done so much sin till God had to send a prophet to the man to tell him that this and that is going to happen. And even when that man came and prophesied that, Jeroboam goes, take that man. You know, he wanted to take that prophet and I don't know what to do with him. And right there, he was caught in his sin and his hand froze like that. And what that prophet had said came to pass, the outer rent in two and so forth and so forth. Then Jeroboam had to say to the men, pray for me. Pray unto your God so that my hand can draw back again. And the men prayed, and indeed God heard the prayer and the hand came back again.
Hallelujah.
But here is what is important. From verse number 7, First Kings chapter 13. Now, when Jeroboam saw that this really is a man of God, okay, because everything that he just prophesied now has come to pass. And now my hand cannot be drawn back. It shriveled. But he has prayed in my hand. He knew that this was a man of God. So he said in verse number 7, and the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I'll give you a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, if you will give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou comest. So this man, when God had come to him before he came to this place, he told him what to do. He said, you are going there and prophesy to Jeroboam and tell him, thus said the Lord, this, this, and that. But it didn't stop there. God told the man that you must come back. Don't eat anything there. Don't eat bread or water. And don't come back by the same way that you went. This was God's word to the man. Now, many people like to ask, what has God water got to do with it? What has God bread got to do with it? That's a very dangerous thing for people to do. Because in this case, water and bread had everything to do with it because God had said so. He said, don't drink water or eat bread. So it had everything to do with it. But this man, we find, he refused from Jeroboam and he began to go his way. And another prophet came, a teacher, a false teacher. Let's read, maybe. So he went another way and turned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the men of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also to their father. And their father said to them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the men of God had went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that came from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. Exactly what God had told him not to do. And he replied and he said, I may not return with you, nor go in with you. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, Thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou comest. And he said unto him, the old man said, I am a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. Yeah. It's very important in this day that we are living in. There are so many voices out there. There are so many voices that speak, and they claim to speak from the Lord. This man, this old man, was a prophet. He didn't lie. But he was lying about this case. And he said, the Lord said to me to come and tell you to come and eat bread and water in my house. So what does he do? So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. And it came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. The very same man now begins to prophesy from the Lord. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as you have disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and has not kept the commandments which the Lord thy God commanded you, but came back and has eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did say to you, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. He died that day. He was eaten by a lion the very same day. and his carcass was there for all to see what disobedience causes. And many would have asked to say, why would God let a lion eat this man simply for eating bread and drinking water? Simple things like that. But God had said not to do it, and he did it. And that's the danger today, is that many times people want to use philosophy and justify the things that they do and say, well, what has God dressing to do with it? Dressing has got everything to do with it because God said so. You know? Well, what has got the way I keep my hair got to do with it? It has everything to do with it because God said so. Amen. That this is the way to keep your hair. I mean, logically, if you look at it with human eyes and someone says, what has got hair to do with it? You could reason there. Just like this man, if we had said, but what has got bread and water? The man needs to eat. But it had everything to do with it.
Amen.
Who is guiding you in your life? We all need a guide. I have a guide of my life, and I want to listen to him. But there are so many other competing voices.
Right.
If you are not careful, you make a wreck of your life. I remember sometimes when I'm driving with my wife, you know, and we are going somewhere that we don't know, and we put on the navigator. I never put the voice of the navigator. Because my wife, you know, she likes to tell me, you turn here, you turn there. If I listen to her and the navigator, I'll make a wreck, you know. So instead of telling her to shut up, you know, I shut the navigator off, you know, and just look at it from the corner of my eyes, but I listen to her. Because you get yourself confused. She will say, take the first turn here. But the navigator is saying, take the first exit, you know? And I'm like, it's the same thing. So you need to rely on God to guide you in your life.
Amen.
Every step of the way, because no one else knows this way.
Right.
No one has gone this way before. Only God can guide us. And because there are so many voices that speak now, my, how important that is. It's so easy. For whatever we are speaking today could be reaching Slovakia in the next few minutes. It could be in America in the next few minutes. It could be in South Africa, Zimbabwe, everywhere. People could connect and watch. And you could leave the church today, and before end of day, you know what Brother Ed Bisco was preaching. You know what Brother Donnie Reagan was preaching. You know what Brother Chikosi was preaching. You know what all the other saints were preaching everywhere. It's that easy this day. And therein where lies the danger. I don't say there's anything wrong with these men I have spoken. They are very wonderful, good brothers. But there is where the danger is, because they are so, through the same medium, we now get so many blind leaders of the blind. A blind person trying to lead someone who doesn't know the way. I mean, why are you doing that? You know? You go there and see what Creflo Dollar was saying, and you let him lead your life. You're going to fall in the ditch.
That's right.
This journey we are undertaking, there are some things you can't do twice. It's one journey, soon it's over. All that's left is what you've done for Christ.
That's right.
And where he led you. So be careful as you go along this journey, take the way of the Lord. And he has given us that way. He has given us his word. We don't have to go and figure it out. And God went beyond that. He gave us a prophet who's explained everything we need. And if there's anything that you are not sure of, he even told you what to do. If there's any doubt in it, leave it alone. So why you want to do things with doubt, you know? May God help us. It's a tragedy today among Christians. So many false teachers have arisen. So, and they get anointed too, like this man. They get serious anointing and do serious things. And if we are not careful, right there we take the exit.
Amen.
And it's only by God's grace to come back to the right way again. May the Lord bless you. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you once again for your grace and your mercies, Lord. We thank you, Father, for You are the guide of our lives, Lord, and we see where you have taken us from to where we are today, Lord, and we are thankful. Help us, Father, that continually, Lord, we may listen for that still small voice, Lord, and be sure that it is you that is speaking and leading and guiding us, Lord, that we may not follow all these fly-by salesmen that come and promise things that they cannot deliver, for they themselves do not know the way. They don't want to enter into heaven, and they would, Lord, stand in the way of those that want to enter, even as Jeroboam did, Lord. So we want to ask this morning that you have mercy upon each and every one of us, Lord. We don't desire to be led by the flashy things of this world. We want your word, Lord. Above all else, Lord, help us to live our lives according to thy word. For it is only that, Lord, that which will bring us to the destination that we are going to. We want to commit this service into your hands. Bless the musicians, Lord. We pray that you use them this morning to lead us and guide us into worship. And let it be your spirit, Lord, that will guide them and lead them to lead us into that place of worship, Lord. And Father, we commit the minister into your hands as he has separated himself to hear from you. Use him mightily this morning, Lord, to bring the word of God that will guide us into all truth, Lord, and bring us safely to our destination. Bless, Lord, Father, the saints that are not here. We commit them all into your hands and ask that you watch over them until we meet together with them again. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name.